and welcome back to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. My name is Danny.
And I'm Giacomo.
And this is our 62nd episode. Hey everybody, welcome back and thanks again so much for tuning in. Today, it is August 10th. It actually feels like the summer is starting to wrap up, which is insane because it's like we blinked and the summer happened. And I feel like that kind of happens every year, but usually summer is like fun. And this year has been kind of drab, I would say.
What year? I'm already like looking forward to 2021. I'm like, what's going to happen in the summer of 2021? While also obviously being in the moment.
I don't know. I heard that Google told all of their employees that they would be working from home until at least the summer of 2021, which leads me to believe that Google probably knows something that we don't. And this is going to stretch out for a lot longer than any of us care to think about. So on that depressing note, Giacomo and I have been crushing our ice cream challenge this summer. That's been pretty much the highlight of the summer.
Like yesterday, Danny was like, you have no idea how many websites I've been on, hundreds, looking for a needle in a haystack, which is not necessarily the case anymore. There are so many places out here with vegan ice cream. How many places have we been to? Like 10, I want to say?
11.
11 ice cream stands in New England with vegan ice cream.
Yep.
And counting.
Yeah, it's been really neat because I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or not. Sorry if we're repeating ourselves. But when I was a kid, I used to go to ice cream stands all the time. And I think they're a little bit different here than they are in some other parts of the country. Like, I don't remember seeing ones like this when we lived on the West Coast. They're like outdoor, kind of like a farm stand, but you walk up to the counter and order ice cream. When I went vegan, I can't remember if I was 16 or 17, but I was 16 or 17 and I have not been to an ice cream stand since then, unless I got lucky enough that they had Italian ice or sorbet. And let's be real, that is not even remotely the same thing. And then this year we found out that one of the biggest ones in my hometown had like 5 flavors of vegan ice cream that they made on location. So that sparked the idea in my brain that I was going to find as many New England ice cream stands as possible that had vegan ice cream so that we could go out and support that endeavor. It's been really fun. We had a black raspberry Oreo flavor this weekend.
What was that all about? I don't know, but it was so good. They really went for it. And I appreciate stuff like that. I mean, I like the classics, but I also like the creativity and the reaching, like black raspberries and Oreos, not necessarily something you think that would go together, but it was so good.
Yeah, it's just really cool. It's, you know, I think people that go vegan now, they have no idea what it was like. I mean, I really sound old saying this, but 20 years ago, it was not the way it was now. Do you remember the ice cream 20 years ago? I remember there was tofutti ice cream in a tub. Do you remember that?
No, I wasn't that cool of a vegan, honestly.
Oh, it was, I mean, it was really exciting back then, but when I think about it now, it's pretty gross, actually. Although the tofutti cuties, definitely, the little ice cream sandwiches, those are kind of the OGs, and they're still around, which is neat, and they should be, because they're awesome.
Yeah, tofutti in general, just like, shout out to that company, between their microwavable cheese pizzas, those square pizzas.
Or, is that tofutti?
I think so.
Huh, I haven't seen that in forever, probably at least 10 years.
And then the ice cream and the first Thanksgiving meatless meat. I mean, just like, am I mixing companies up?
You're totally mixing companies up.
Okay.
Tofutti did do the best job, in my opinion, with the cream cheese and the sour cream. There is nothing, none of the new fancy ones that have come out can even touch those two, in my opinion. And I will stand by that. That's a hill I will die on. I said what I said. Moving on. What are we talking about today, Giacomo?
Something we've thought about for a while but have never really expanded upon, vegan bodybuilding myths. I think it's one of those things where I feel like it's sort of been beaten to death. You know, it's like, oh, where do you get your protein? Yeah, we get it. The vegans can do their thing. But, you know, I feel like there are still some myths that are very much so alive and well and are worth talking about.
So you want to do vegan-specific bodybuilding myths, because there are definitely tons of bodybuilding myths that have nothing to do with veganism, but you want to go vegan style, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the way Giacomo and I do these podcasts, if you guys don't know, we come up with a topic that we decide we want to talk about, and then we deliberately don't talk about it, and we just go to our separate corners and make our lists, and then we come here and have these conversations. That's how it goes. Otherwise, we already talk to each other about everything all the time. You guys would just listen to our same regular boring conversation. So what's on your list, Giacomo? Go ahead. Go first.
A whole bunch of stuff. I feel like the one that is probably the thing we come across the most is that when you're on a competition prep, specifically, so this is less about bodybuilding as a whole and more about the competitive side of things, that there's just no way you can do it without drinking protein shakes or getting in enough protein, like per calories. There's this thought process that if you're doing it the vegan way, that you, once you go through that point where you're reducing calories to get stage lean, that you just cannot get enough protein in. And if you're lucky to get enough protein in, it's because you're drinking nothing but protein shakes. I love debunking that. I truly do. It's, in some ways, I get off on the fact that the burden of proof is on the vegan. Like, it's like you have to prove people wrong. But in another sense, it's a bodybuilding thing. I mean, it's, look at an omnivore or a carnivore, if you will, because that's what you're doing when you're bodybuilding and you're like 3-4 weeks out. You're eating nothing but meat.
That's not true. See, there's a myth right there. That's not true. You're eating nothing but meat and vegetables. I mean, you're eating a lot of vegetables, even if you're not vegan. You are. You have to be.
Yes, but you're also getting in a metric fuck ton of animal and animal byproducts to make sure you get your protein needs
right.
On a caloric
anyway,
deficit.
Anyway, that's still not a carnivore. A carnivore is a carnivore.
True. Okay. All right. I'll put the fist down. Anyways, I guess my point is that by the end of a competition prep, I don't care who you are, you're struggling to get your protein in, you're doing weird things. So as a vegan, the same thing kind of tends to happen. And it doesn't necessarily have to be protein shakes. You can rely on super protein-dense plant-based sources like seitan, soy, but basically like vegan meats that are made to be super high in protein and super low in carbs and fats. And it doesn't have to be protein shakes.
So to condense all of that stuff you just said, what you're saying is you don't have to consume protein shakes.
Correct.
If you don't want to.
Well, I mean, I think
but
it's...
But almost everybody does.
Yes.
In fact, I think I might be one of the only people who doesn't. Especially, I mean, it's a hard sell for me to drink a protein shake in the off season when my calories are high. In prep, you couldn't pay me to drink my calories.
And that's the thing, like it's not satiating, so it in one sense it makes it hard. I mean, like you can make a protein ice cream at the end of the day, but to drink your calories when you're truly hungry, not necessarily the most practical way to adhere to a competition diet.
But here is the thing that happens based like about what you're talking about is if a vegan goes to work with a non-vegan coach and the non-vegan coach is writing them a meal plan to get them ready for a show, it's going to be protein shakes all day. It's going to be because they don't know anything else. They don't know any protein alternatives. So what you find is you find a lot of like first-time competitors or kind of newbie vegan competitors are drinking a ton of protein shakes all day, which isn't inherently bad, but it's like you're already in a pretty steep caloric deficit to get ready for a show. And then on top of that, you're drinking half your calories. Like you're so miserable. And after that, the thought of a protein shake will literally like ignite your gag reflex because you've drank so many of them. And I think that part of that is just kind of the ignorance of vegan protein sources by non-vegan coaches, that they really, really pigeonhole vegans into this like box of these are the 10 foods you can eat, because historically that's how bodybuilding has been anyway. These are the 10 foods you can eat. They just do a vegan version of it. So instead of, you know, a non-vegan traditional old school bodybuilding style, which, you know, we could debunk that all day, but you know, they might have chicken, egg whites, whitefish, right?
Just about, yeah, for the skin, of course.
to thin the skin. But if they are coaching a vegan, they're going to say, well, you can eat protein powder then. because, you know, obviously soy is terrible for you. Sarcasm font. So they just give you protein powder all day. That's a separate thing. But yeah, you don't have to. My macros got crazy last prep, in my opinion. They got pretty crazy. I don't remember the exact numbers, but my protein was around 160, maybe even 165. My carbs at one point were 115. And on peak week, they were 80 for a couple days during a depletion phase. And I want to say fats were like 40 or something. I mean, this was for a very short period of time. Please, for the love of God, don't try to do that.
Seriously.
Ever. But just for the sake of transparency, that's what my macros were for at least a couple weeks during prep. And I still didn't use protein powder. And that's just my personal preference. Was I still hungry? Yep. I was still really, really hungry. But I was way less hungry than if I had been drinking protein water all day.
Yeah, satiety is everything.
Anyway, my turn.
If you got something.
I think that this is a myth for new vegans in general. And unfortunately, I think it's perpetuated by a lot of the vegan community in general, this idea that being whole food plant-based makes bodybuilding easier.
Ooh.
Right?
That's interesting.
Like, think about all the vegan Facebook groups you're in, which you don't participate in at all. I barely participate in, but I read them all.
Yeah.
Kind of keeps my finger on the pulse of what people are talking about. But
exactly.
The number of people who are like, I just went vegan like 3 months ago and I don't understand why I'm not making progress. You know, I'm doing 100% whole food plant-based. I'm not doing any powders or supplements or oils or this or that. Why am I not getting the results I want? Because they think whole food plant-based, just by doing that without any further nuance to it, is the answer to results, right?
I get it. People want to be intuitive. They don't want to think about calories. They want to listen to their body, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But when you're trying to get your body to do something that it's not meant to do on its own, when you're trying to get your body to perform like an athlete and you're beating your body up more than it's meant to be beat up, it makes sense to pay attention to nutrition science.
It really bums me out because I feel like some of the top vegans in the athletic world go ahead and perpetuate this myth that, you know, they don't count this or they don't count that. They just eat whole food, plant-based, super clean, super healthy, and that's why they look the way they look. And that is such a lie. With the exception of maybe like one or two people who just genetically could basically do whatever they wanted and look amazing, you know, they look great in spite of what they're doing, not necessarily because of it. All the other people, they may be eating whole food plant-based, which is something we've talked about on here before. You can absolutely be a bodybuilder eating whole food plant-based, but that doesn't mean you can just eat any whole plant willy-nilly and get the results that you want. Cashews are a whole food. I can eat 1,000 calories in cashews right now. Give me cashews. I can do that. Sweet potatoes are a whole food. I can slam some sweet potatoes. You can absolutely gain body fat eating the wrong whole foods. It's not even that hard.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we see it every single day in these groups, and I'm not talking one or two people. I'm talking about like a dozen posts every single day that basically say, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I did what this famous vegan bodybuilder mm-hmm. said to do, or this famous vegan bodybuilder said to do, and it is just not working. And it's like, first of all, you are not them. Second of all, they might not be being entirely truthful. And third of all, they might just know something that you don't, that they're forgetting to share with you also. You know, in the fitness industry, a lot of people just take for granted what they know and assume other people know it too. You know, they may quote unquote intuitively be eating a much higher and lower carb whole food plant-based diet, but not saying that to you. So you're sitting there eating, you know, baked sweet potatoes covered in almond butter and you don't understand why you're not getting the results that you're wanting to get. I think that's a big myth. There's whole food plant-based absolutely is a great, 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 great way to improve your overall health for the vast majority of people. But is just being whole food plant-based gonna improve your bodybuilding results? Not at all.
I think it should be a focal point. I think it makes sense to focus on nutrient density. I think it makes sense to focus on getting whole foods in. And personally, I feel like it's important to take different dietary schools of thought, different pieces from different dietary schools of thought, and make it your own instead of just following one thing like it's gospel. And I think that's where we wind up going wrong, is we wind up thinking about one way as a lifestyle. Like, oh, whole food, plant-based, this is my lifestyle, and we miss the forest for the trees. I've since come around, and rather than trying to only debunk a certain dietary school of thought, I say, okay, well, whole food, plant-based makes sense. However, I think of it in terms of eating more fruits and eating more vegetables, but also being reasonable about it and balancing my plate and making sure that I'm fueling myself for performance and recovery.
Well, I think the bottom line is it's more complicated than a lot of people want to make it sound like it is. But to come out and say nutrition is incredibly complicated and we don't know everything yet, you can't title a book that. No one's going to buy that book. But if you say, I have the answer, if you just cut out all these foods, you'll be super healthy and super ripped and big and strong and you'll have the best energy ever, that book will sell a million copies. A little skepticism is healthy.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to throw this one out there and I want to hear your thoughts on it rather than me going off. How do you feel about the whole, there's a need for colostrum and bone marrow and like all kinds of weird animal byproducts to make sure that you're building up your muscle? And all of the ways that we've tried to mimic that, like as of late with plant-based foods.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say it's stupid. And I still think it's stupid that there's vegan versions of these things calling. Are there vegan versions of colostrum coming out?
Yep.
Gross. What even is that? How do you plant-based imitate mother's first milk? I don't even want to know. I don't care. The point is, I don't think any of those supplements have much, if any, health benefits, just like most supplements that are, you know, if I walk into a GNC, I could probably pull out like 8 to 10 things that I think are worthwhile for the average Joe, and then everything else is like, well, this is just expensive junk. I feel the same way about colostrum. I feel the same thing about eating collagen. Why are people eating collagen? Eating collagen does not give you more collagen. I digress. But vegans want to try it. You know, they want to try it, but they don't want to compromise on their vegan ethics. So there was a hole in the market. People filled it. You know, are plant-based collagen boosters necessary? No. You know, I actually think it's probably more effective than taking actual collagen, because eating collagen doesn't give you collagen, but, you know, increasing your vitamin C can help you produce more collagen. But anyway, I don't think it's really necessary for anybody. So I'm not super familiar with everything that you just listed, because I just wouldn't even go down that path. What was that deer antler juice that good old friend David Avocado Wolf likes to promote? I'm just kidding. I hate with a fiery passion, David Avocado Wolf. He can choke on a kumquat. There, I said it.
Ouch.
True story, side story. This has nothing to do with anything. So I've never liked David Wolf. Just for the stuff that he spouts about nutrition is ridiculous. One time, Giacomo and I went to a bookstore in Seattle. Was it Seattle? Anyway, David Wolf was speaking, and I shit you not, guys, he was telling a packed room. There must have been hundreds of people in that room that if they really wanted to stretch their money, they could just take their supplements during the waxing moon, and it would go so much further. And this room full of navel-gazing psychos just nodding in unison at this, I was like, get me out of here.
You were getting panicky about it.
This was over 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Somehow he got this like viral Facebook page posting other people's content. I thought he disappeared. Then boom, there he is again.
We were just out there to pick up protein from said navel-gazing folk. We like literally got there to pick up, I don't know, a couple hundred pounds of protein or something like that to get to our next Veg Fest Expo when we were touring. But there we were, just like watching this protein company sign.
If there was ever a snake oil salesman in the vegan community, that is him, guys.
Yeah.
So.
What are you gonna do?
Avoid him at all costs. And warn anybody that thinks we have anything important to say the exact same things. Avoid. I don't name drop very often, guys. Mm-mm. So if I do, I'm serious.
Anyways.
What were we talking about? Bone broth? I don't know.
Yeah, we're talking about like weird animal products that bodybuilders think they need to build muscle, or if they're going without them, that they're not going to be able to build muscle, basically.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just don't believe that's true. You know, if you're ever curious about a supplement and whether or not it actually is helpful, you can always go to examine.com and you will be able to find the peer-reviewed meta-analyses of all the studies on any given supplement and see whether or not they found results in certain areas, and if so, was it a strong result? Was it a small result? Did they think it might have been placebo? It's a great site, examine.com. You can learn all about all kinds of supplements. If you have a question about any supplement, examine.com has information on it.
Yeah, and honestly, I always tend to lean on the side of, well, if we're messing with using animals for food, and that food was produced in a way to grow other animals. I mean, ethics aside, is it really healthy to be consuming hormones from other animals that were, perhaps there's benefits, but perhaps there's also consequences to doing that. And is it something you really want to play with? And is that going to necessarily produce a net positive for you if you're throwing some weird crap into your system? Health complications aside, if all you care about is being a performance beast, is it only good? You know what I mean? Like those are the kinds of things I think about when I think about dairy and all kinds of weird animal byproducts, like the crap that gets slung out there and being like, oh yeah, this is good for you. You'll gain muscle.
All right, next. So these are kind of just protein myths. I mean, I know the protein thing has been done to death, but still, in terms of bodybuilding, I think there's some important myths that still seem to exist within the vegan community. I'm gonna kind of do them all at once. One of the myths is that you don't need to worry about protein at all. Just eat food and you'll get enough protein to bodybuild, specifically. The second one is the exact opposite of that. Well, you're vegan, so you have to eat way, way more protein than the non-vegans because, like, our protein isn't as quote-unquote good.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is food combining to maximize your protein intake, which is something... Food combining, I definitely think, is a myth that is prevalent in the entire vegan world. It has nothing to do with bodybuilding, but where bodybuilding is such a game of inches, meaning every little detail can add up, I feel like people kind of circle back around to this idea that protein combining is probably a good idea. Want me to elaborate?
Which one you want to start on? Because I'm thinking about...
Well, they're all in the same boat.
Well, the food combining thing irks me because it's prevalent in the vegan bodybuilding and vegan community in general, that world, but it's not where that myth started.
No.
And now all of a sudden it's like an us thing. And that's where I get annoyed about stuff like that, where all of a sudden it becomes like something we're doing. But I just don't understand how our body can't put together the foods we eat throughout the day and make use of it. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I feel this was a study that was done in the 70s or more. I believe it was a hypothesis that was presented, I want to say, in the 70s. And it was over a decade or so debunked, basically. But because that hypothesis had been out there for so long, a lot of people just know it. They don't know why they know it, but they know it. It's kind of like... Did you ever hear that if you swallowed gum, it would sit in your stomach for 7 years? Did you hear that as a kid?
Yep.
Yeah. See, why do we know that? Why? It's not true,
mm-mm.
But I guarantee you most of the people listening to this podcast also heard that at one point, right? It's not true. It's just one of those things, you just hear it, you're just like, oh, okay. You can just carry on with your life. Food combining is kind of like that, even though it's not true. But in terms of protein, the other two things I think are pretty huge as well. And it's almost like opposing sides of the vegan bodybuilding community. The people who think protein doesn't matter and the people who think if the meat eaters need to eat 1.2 grams of protein per pound of body weight, then the vegans need to eat at least 2 because we have to eat way more. And believe it or not, there's more truth to that side than the other side. Yes, you do have to consider protein as a vegan athlete in general, not even as a vegan bodybuilder, as a vegan athlete, particularly with bodybuilding, particularly with a cutting phase. As your calories get lower, you have to pay attention to where you're getting your protein from more. In caloric surplus, it's very easy to get protein. You don't have to hyper-focus on it at all. It'll just add up throughout your day. In a deficit, that protein requirement is still basically the same, so then you have to pay more attention to it. But some studies have shown that in order to sort of mimic the amino acid profile of animal-based proteins, vegans need to eat about 16% more protein than meat eaters. So first the question is, do we want to mimic their profile? I don't know, that's up to you. But if you do, then there are some studies that suggest that you could eat a little bit more protein than the non-vegan athletes.
So are we at a disadvantage?
I don't think so.
Why?
Because I think we get a wider variety of amino acids, first of all, simply because we eat a bigger variety of food than non-vegan bodybuilders. Like I mentioned at the beginning, how many bodybuilders are still out there eating 10 foods? A lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. I actually was trying to show this to one of my clients this week, and I was searching for, you know, I think I Googled like typical bro bodybuilder diet. I literally found one without a vegetable in it. Not one vegetable in it. It was like cottage cheese with egg whites and steak for lunch. And there was oatmeal, there was sweet potato, but there was no like actual vegetables in it. Anyway, very short list of foods. And I feel like most plant-based eaters do eat a much wider variety of foods. You know, they're not just eating peanut butter. Sometimes they're eating almond butter or flax seeds or chia seeds, or they're not just eating broccoli. They're eating Swiss chard and kale and collards and asparagus and lots of different kinds of fruits. So
there's a win for the vegans in some sense, because we do get a wider variety of amino acids. And here is how I think that the playing field is more level than we realize. Because let's get real here. When we're on a caloric deficit, everyone ups their protein to be more satiated and for a little bit of, mainly to be more satiated. And it creates somewhat of a thermic effect. So at some point, you only need so much protein. And if you're not getting in carbs and fats, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yep.
And when you wind up upping your protein to the point where you're creating the right thermic effect to be leaning out, then you're going to get in more protein whether you're a vegan or not. And you're going to also do it to be satiated, whether you're a vegan or not. And so 16% is really not a lot. And quite frankly, I'd say that everyone across the board does that anyway.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. 16% sounds like, oh man, that's a lot. But I actually think that a lot of non-vegans are overeating protein anyway. In general, like you just said, they're kind of wasting some of their nutritional intake on protein when they could have probably given themselves a little bit more carbs or fat, which might have boosted their performance in the gym, which might have in turn gotten them to do more volume, which in turn might have gotten them to build more muscle. So I think it kind of all comes out in the wash. As long as you are paying attention to it in some capacity, as long as you're not saying, oh, well, I'll just eat apples all day and for sure I'll get enough protein, because like, no, you're not going to. As long as you're not doing that, it should be fine. And I still think that the 0.8 to 1.2 grams per pound of lean body weight is still a great place. And there's a lot of wiggle room in there too. That's the difference for me between like 80 grams of protein and like 140. That's a lot of wiggle room to play with. Anyway, what you got?
Well, we kind of talked about this ad nauseum on the phytoestrogen episode, but once again, there's this myth that vegan bodybuilders are going to grow man boobs, or that the phytoestrogen is going to mess with your hormones. I know.
I can't. What episode was that? Was that 59? I think it was 59. Go listen to episode 59 if you want to hear more about that. Soy is a bean. We don't hear about chickpea man boobs, so let's not talk about soy ones.
All right, here's another one. What if you cannot eat enough food because your food is too fibrous or too voluminous because you're eating fruits and veggies and whole foods? How can you get enough calories if you need a bulk as a vegan?
Well, again, this comes back to what we were just talking about. You have to know what you're doing. The same like, oh, well, I just ate whole food plant-based and I don't know why I'm not getting results. You know, for a lot of people that eat whole food plant-based, they might be putting on body fat that they didn't want to. But for some people, going whole food plant-based, they may be like losing weight that they didn't want to lose or not able to gain muscle because they just essentially cut their caloric intake in half by just eating fruits and vegetables. They may need to learn some calorically dense foods like sweet potatoes, like beans, like nuts or seeds or nut butters, avocados. You know, all of those are calorically dense, but if you're just going, well, I'm going to be whole food plant-based and I'm just going to eat fruits and veggies all day, you're going to be so full that you're not going to be able to eat all of your food, which is great if weight loss is the goal, but if it's not, it can have the opposite effect.
So here's an example, okay? I wasn't always a vegan bodybuilder. I went vegan after my first bodybuilding competition, and I had a very active lifestyle, like very active. It wasn't just bodybuilding. Long story short, I needed to get in well over 5,000 calories, sometimes upwards of 8,000 calories.
That must have been hard for you.
Well, maybe it was stupid because I was doing like that typical dude thing. I got to weigh 220 pounds in order to gain muscle. Whatever. My point here is when you need to get in a lot of calories, it's not a plant-based issue. When you need to get in a lot of calories and you want to eat nutritiously, that's the issue. And I remember back in the day struggling for the same reasons. And I wasn't vegan at all. I was like, how the fuck am I going to get in enough calories and get them to be nutrient dense? And I remember trying to think of all kinds of creative ways. I would make shakes where I would grind up oats and grind up buckwheat. Gross, right? But it was like a whole foody kind of mass eating shake. And that wasn't because I was vegan or even trying to go vegan. At least I don't think it was. I was literally just trying to get in food that was nutritious, and I also needed to get an exorbitant amount of calories to be able to be bulking.
And what you just said, that's like the exact opposite of what I was saying before. Like, you couldn't pay me to drink my calories. Well, if you're so full you can't eat enough, try drinking some calories. Because it goes down a lot faster that way.
Right. But there's also, and unfortunately you have to make some sensible decisions. If you have to eat that much, do you really need everything you're eating to be disgustingly nutritionally dense? Like, no. You wind up relying on other things that are easier to digest, like white rice, for example, to get your calories in. Because if you're eating that much food, you're going to get in all the micronutrients you need. Find ways to make your food digestible so you don't wreck your system trying to make sure you're eating enough.
That kind of brings me to another one that I didn't even write on my list, but when you said it, it reminded me of it. There's this myth that every vegan bodybuilder out there built their muscles while they were not vegan. Like, they were already big and strong and ripped before they went vegan, and then they went vegan and just kind of maintained it. To me, that's obviously crap, because I think it goes across the board. There are lots of people who were already athletes and then went vegan, like yourself. And there are lots of people who were absolutely 1,000,000% not athletes when they went vegan and built muscle and got leaner, like myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every single article I come across of like 10 vegan bodybuilders proving the stereotypes wrong, the comments are all like, yeah, what did they look like before they went vegan? I bet you they lost size since they went vegan. I bet you they already looked like this before they were vegan. And I think it's a really pretty even mix.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things where we start to pick on individuals and an idea instead of looking at the pool of people.
I understand why it happens. We almost know only vegans, but a lot of people don't know a single solitary vegan in the world. So, you know, look at all of the professional athletes in the last few years that have gone vegan. They were already professional athletes, so nobody's saying that veganism made them a professional athlete. And I think that's an important takeaway, is veganism isn't making you anything except vegan. You know, you have to put in the work if you want to be the best athlete you can be, or if you want to change your body, you have to put in the work whether you're vegan or not. Anyway, speaking of nasty comments, what about the myth in the vegan community that all vegan bodybuilders are natural? And also the myth outside of the vegan community that all vegan bodybuilders are on steroids. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, how do we simplify this? What a bunch of malarkey. I feel like that's strictly for the sake of, I don't know, entertainment.
Well, okay. Obviously, not every vegan bodybuilder is on steroids. Right. Many, many, many vegan bodybuilders compete in natural shows where you're drug tested and lie detector tested. And are there ways to cheat through that? Yes, we've heard of it, but I've never actually seen it. I mean, I've seen people get sent home from lie detector tests because they failed. But in the vegan community, you'll see an article again, you know, 10 vegan bodybuilders proving all the stereotypes wrong. And the comments will be like, yeah, that's because they're all on steroids. And the vegans just come in and start talking about how they're obviously not on steroids because vegans wouldn't do steroids. And guys, I have bad news for you. There are certainly some vegans that are partaking in some performance enhancing aids.
And do you? Everyone right. has the right to make their own decisions. Why is it that the vegan community, or this perceived notion that someone is going to be shamed or outed, is not living a, I don't know where it comes from, but the vegan community, it seems like it's much harder to come out of the closet and just talk like, this is me and what I do.
I actually saw a guy in one of the vegan bodybuilding groups the other day. He was showing his transformation after being vegan for, I think, 3 years or something. And I mean, to me, it was very, very obvious from the photo that he was on some kind of performance-enhancing drugs. Some people called him out in the comments for it, and he just was like, Yeah, whatever. That's my choice.
Exactly.
And people destroyed him for it. And it's messed like, up. You know, that's not a path that I would choose personally. It's obviously not a path that you would choose, Giacomo. But you know, your body, your choice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if people want to do that, that's up to them. And in my opinion, we do need vegans fighting on all the front lines.
Representation everywhere.
Yeah, proving this, you know, there are lots of vegans who compete in natural shows exclusively. I don't think I will ever compete in an untested show just because I don't want to support the untested organizations. Personally, I don't mm-hmm. think they're great, but I have lots of friends mm-hmm. who do compete in them and do very well in them. Some mm-hmm. natural, some not. Mm-hmm. And that's great, and I'm glad that they're out there doing that because it does show that, like, yes, when all other things are equal, vegans can rank wherever it is that they choose to compete. Whatever sport they choose to compete in, you know, we're trying to make all other factors equal. That way you can actually show that veganism is not a limiting factor. You know, if I were to go compete in an untested show against lots of other girls who are on gear, I would do very badly. And it wouldn't be because I was vegan. It would be because I'm not taking the same performance-enhancing supplements, that I don't have the same supplementation protocol that most of the girls on the stage do.
And a lot of people like going that route, as a matter sure. of fact. It makes them push harder for whatever reason, or they like the limelight because there's a lot of attention surrounding them in that arena, etc.,
yeah.
etc.
And there are certain categories that lend themselves to being able to compete as a natural athlete a bit better. The bikini category, the girls are mm-hmm. smaller, the girls have less muscle than the other categories. That's not to say they don't have a lot of muscle, they do, those girls are jacked. But it may still be achievable in a natural state for some people, as opposed to once you get up into even figure now is so massive and so lean that I think past a regional competition level, I don't think anybody is going to nationals that is not partaking in some way. Mm-hmm. And then the men's categories, like, yikes. Women's physique, women's bodybuilding. I love that. I love to watch it the same way a lot of people like to watch professional sports on ESPN, even though you know a lot of those people are taking something or other. Some scandal comes out every other year. That doesn't make it less pleasant or fun for you to watch the sport. And that's kind of how I feel about it. But better believe that, yes, there are lots and lots of vegans who are natural. And then also, what does natural mean to you? Because to me, it means WADA compliance, right? Complying with the WADA list. But if there's a supplement that you think might be helpful that is WADA compliant, yep, I'm probably going to take it. But for some people, it means zero supplements. It means no protein powder. It means no creatine. It means no breast implants. You know, for different people, it means different things. There's lots of vegan competitors that have breast implants. That doesn't make them less vegan or less natural in the eyes of the competition, though it might make somebody say, well, that person's not natural because they have breast implants.
Right.
Anyway, it's complicated, but at the end of the day, if people aren't hurting anybody, let them do what they want and support people in their various arenas. I think it's really important.
I don't think there's any space, maybe that's a little bit judgmental, but I don't think that there's anywhere next to near enough space to welcome vegans that are doing pretty amazing things in different arenas, and I wish it were different, and I have to think that it has something to do with the community being built on ethics and moral superiority instead of, it's tough.
It is tough, and I also, you know, I just said as long as they're not hurting anybody, right?
Yep.
How many athletes are taking one thing, not telling everybody about it, and saying, buy my program, and you have a shot at looking like me?
Yep.
And they don't look like that because of their program. They look like that for a bunch of factors that they're not going to disclose.
And moreover, maybe individuals and or the community at large is fearful of being attacked or being knocked down a peg.
Or it's illegal, so it's not like people can just openly talk about it.
Exactly.
We actually did a whole podcast specifically on steroids in bodybuilding because it's something that I think is really interesting, personally. I think it's super interesting. Not just the actual science of steroids, but the taboo around the topic, I think is really interesting also. And then add the vegan layer to it, and I'm just fascinated. But there is a whole podcast on that if you guys want to hear us talk more about this. I don't remember what number it is.
I don't know either. But check them out. There's some good ones in our library of episodes, and that is definitely one of them. This is something I know is somewhat repetitive, but I do think that the subject can be a bit of a hot button at times. What about vegans not having enough creatine in their system to build muscle?
Well, nobody has enough creatine in their system to maximize ATP synthesis. Nobody. I don't care if you're a meat eater or not. Vegans are not the ones that made creatine monohydrate super popular. It was meat eaters that did that. Everybody can benefit from taking creatine. That's it. That's all I got for
that.
Easy
enough.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more. It's kind of lighter. But I do think it's a big bodybuilding and vegan myth is that it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That it's expensive to be a vegan bodybuilder.
I had that on my list as well.
High five.
Ow. Sorry.
So it's expensive to be a bodybuilder. If you're going to compete, like actually step on stage, be a competitive bodybuilder, it is super, super expensive. The fees are insane. If you're a woman, the suit, a dirt cheap suit is going to cost you $300. A nice suit is going to cost you $700. It's a very, very expensive sport. That doesn't even take into account travel. But a lot of people think just going vegan in and of itself is expensive.
Well,
and then
about,
if you're a bodybuilder and you eat a lot, it has to be more expensive, right?
Right. But vegan foods, do they cost more money? Are you going to be spending more money on food as a vegan?
You can. I mean, if that's what you want to do, if you want to buy all convenience foods, it's going to be more expensive. But again, I feel like this is the same for vegans or non-vegans. You know, I mean, I don't know the price of non-vegan foods, but I assume that if you're getting like rice and eggs and cheese and basic ingredients, it's probably way less expensive than buying cases of frozen TV dinners.
Here's an advantage as a vegan. You can make your own meat and it's dirt cheap.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely ways to eat vegan that is pretty inexpensive. Mm-hmm. We just did a grocery haul, I don't know, at the beginning of this pandemic, where we were going shopping once every other week and we were spending just under $250 per grocery trip, and we're both in the off season. I think collectively we're eating like between 6,000 and 7,000 calories a day between the two of us.
And we're spending roughly $500 a month on food or less.
And we do have some convenience foods in there. I like to make my own seitan and different types of versions of seitan and other things, but I also, there's some packaged stuff that I do also enjoy the taste of and the convenience of that are pricier. So it's a mix of lots of things like potatoes and oatmeal and bananas and frozen berries and greens, and then some like vegan cheese and Morningstar Farm chicken strips. We buy tons of tofu, but it's 99¢.
Yep.
So it's whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to get into bodybuilding anyway, whether you're vegan or you're not vegan, there is so much planning involved. Like, what's the difference if it's plant-based or not?
And at some point you have to pay because you only have so much time and energy to accomplish the task, and you need
time
convenience, including spending more money on foods. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I'm sure there are many other vegan bodybuilding myths out there that perhaps we haven't heard about. I would love to know what kind of thoughts that you have about the bodybuilding myths in general, including the ones that come up in the vegan community. So please reach out to us, send us an email, hit us up on social media. Just let us know what kind of ideas and thoughts come to mind when you hear this topic. We love to keep the conversation going.
Yeah, so we always say this at the end of the podcast, but it kind of gets covered by music. If you guys have any questions or anything like that you'd ever like us to talk about, you can reach out to us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, email. You can contact us directly through veganproteins.com. So our Instagram handles are veganproteins as myself and Giacomo is Muscles by Brussels. And if you are in need of any kind of coaching, if there's goals that you want to reach, if this pandemic quarantine has got you really down and you need some motivation, we both offer one-on-one coaching, which you can apply for through veganproteins.com. And we also have our relatively new Vegan Proteins Academy, which gives you access to our whole community, access to Giacomo and I basically 24/7 as you need us. You get workouts prescribed to you every single month. You have access to over 100 high-protein vegan recipes on our site, meal planner tools, macro calculation tools, and you have access to our exclusive app, where you can track all of your progress with your lifting. And because of the quarantine, we have both a gym version and a home version. So if that's something you're interested in, check out veganproteins.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, feel free to leave us a review. It really helps other people to see and learn about our podcast. All right, moving on to our question and answer segment today. We have a question from Anonymous here. It says, I'm new to lifting. Do you think it's best to lift your bigger muscle groups first? For example, on a back biceps day, is it better to lift your back first and your biceps second? Is this all down to preference or is there science behind it?
Well, I think this all boils down to how well trained you are and what your specific goals are. I'm going to go ahead and assume that the goal is physique based here. The first question to ask yourself is how long have you been training consistently? Because whether you've trained before in the past, when you haven't been training consistently, you need to get your lean muscle built back up. The first, I want to say year or two, I feel like it makes more sense to train larger muscle groups first. And here's why. Those muscle groups are going to build up your frame in general, you know, like build up your glutes, for example, to strengthen your posterior chain, build up your chest to strengthen up your upper body, etc., etc. Once those muscles have been focused on, then you can start to look at where the holes in your physique are. So in other words, like build up your body from head to toe, focus on the larger muscle groups first. As you start to become well-trained, you'll find that there are different body parts that don't grow as fast on your physique as others because we all express our genes differently. Now, it makes sense to focus on those body parts first. There are times where, and this is one that usually doesn't happen, but there are times where you may want to train your abs first. Almost always, we wind up overtraining our abs, so that example is obviously not exactly a reasonable one. But take, for example, someone who perhaps needs to work on their arms or someone who needs to work on their calves. They may want to focus on training those body parts before they train their glutes or before they train their chest, for example, because those areas need more work. So I say focus on the larger muscle groups first, and then once you find out which body parts are not responding to training as well, you can start to target those and perhaps train those either first or higher up on your training day as far as how you program for yourself. All right, next question's for you, Danny. My right arm is bigger than my left arm. Do you have any suggestions on how to balance this out?
All right, this is a great question. So first of all, almost everybody has some kind of imbalance from left to right, whether it's in their arms or their legs or their shoulder or their lats. Most people have some kind of imbalance. I think that arms and legs are just the easiest ones to see because you can literally throw a tape measure around each one and see the difference. So don't be super self-conscious if you have one side that's a little bit smaller than the other. So does almost everybody else. But to work on fixing this symmetry from side to side, what I like to do is I like to do a lot of unilateral movements. So for arms, for example, rather than do like a barbell bicep curl where both arms are working at once, I'll do a dumbbell bicep curl and I'll alternate sides. So left arm, right arm. And for triceps, which is arguably the larger part of your arm, rather than do like a V-bar press down or even push-ups, I might do a single arm cable press down or a single arm band press down if you're working out at home, or a single arm dumbbell overhead extension. I would always start on the weaker and or smaller side. So in your case, the left side. So for bicep curls, I would start with the left side. And then when the left side is done, you don't do another rep on the right side. So essentially you're working the left arm, the smaller arm, to failure basically. And it's also getting one extra rep over the bigger side. So over time, this should help to balance it out. Another thing you can do is at the end of your workout, you can do an extra set just for the smaller arm. But what I've seen some people ask is if one arm is weaker than the other, should they lift two different dumbbells? Like a 10 on the weaker side and a 15 on the stronger side. To that, I cannot say no loudly enough, because if you do that, you're just gonna make that imbalance much, much, much worse. So you actually want to be trying to lift a little bit more on the smaller side. By starting with the smaller side, by taking that side to failure and not taking the stronger side to failure, and also possibly adding an extra set at the end of your workout to the smaller side, you're going to get more work done on the smaller side, and more work theoretically should lead to more muscle growth while you're also kind of giving the stronger, bigger side a little bit of a break. You're not really pushing that side very hard to give little lefty a chance to catch up. And the same thing can be said for your legs. If you have a smaller leg, you could do single leg extensions rather than double leg extensions, because if you're doing a double leg extension or a barbell bicep curl, your stronger side is going to take over when your smaller side starts to fail. The stronger side is going to take over, thus making that imbalance potentially even bigger. So for legs, leg extensions, leg curls, calf raises, you could do single leg glute bridges if you have one glute that's bigger than the other. I've definitely come across that in lots of my clients. That is how I would approach that with pretty much any body part that is either visibly smaller or strength-wise it's a lot weaker.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. Feel free to stay in touch with us on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, at Vegan Proteins and at Muscles by Brussels, or shoot us an email, veganproteins@gmail.com. Once again, my name is Giacomo.
And I'm Danny.
And we'll talk to you soon.